God gave me a specific download for you. How many of you want a download from heaven for you? So if you have your Bibles, can you meet me in Mark chapter 1? And while you're flipping to your Bibles, I just want to take a moment and honor Apostle and Pastor Dawn. If you are watching or if you're resting, I want to say I love you, I honor you, thank you. Can we honor our leaders? Come on, can we just thank Jesus for our leaders? We love you. I want to tell you this as you are flipping to the scriptures. Honor is not momentary. Honor is continual. Apostle and Pastor Dawn will be back next week. And this is how you can honor them. You come to church next week. You come on time. You get in pre-service prayer. You bring somebody with you. You come expectant, hungry to worship. I'm asking God to make such anointing and power when they step back into this room, they feel a shift. Come on, somebody. They feel something is broken loose in this room. So let us believe that this will be our portion going into next week. Mark 1, 21 through 28. And then we're going to flip to Luke 10, 19. The Bible says, watch. Then they went into Capernaum, and immediately, somebody say immediately, on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and taught, and they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority. Somebody say authority. And not as the scribes. Now there was a man in the synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. Verse 27, then they were all amazed. So they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And immediately, somebody say immediately, his fame spread throughout all the region around Galilee. Luke 10, 19. "Behold, I give you the authority." I'm going to say that one more time for your neighbor that didn't hear me. "Behold, I give you the authority to trample on." I'm going to say it one more time for the people in the back. Jesus said, "Behold, I give you the authority to do what? To trample on serpents and scorpions and over all A-L-L of the power of the enemy. And nothing, not one thing, not anything shall by means harm you." I shouldn't have to say one more word for you to give him the greatest praise that he... God, that he has given you authority. Somebody praise the Lord in this room today. So my title is this: authority that takes territory. If I had a subtitle, I would call it "In the Name of Jesus." Slip up your hands. I want to get this word to your heart. Father, thank you for the anointing that's in this room. Father, let me say only what you want me to say. Lord, let your word be like a mighty hammer that breaks rocks. Let your presence be like the presence that melts mountains like wax. Let your anointing break every yoke. Father, I'm asking specifically that your people would be activated, awakened, fervent, stepping out in the authority that you have given us today. We have permission and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen. You may be seated. How many of you in this room can say that God has been good to you? Come on, I'll give you 5 seconds to think about it. How many of you in this room can give God a praise at the beginning of this message? Why don't you just tell the Lord with your praise right now how good he's been? Some of y'all wouldn't have the spouse you're sitting next to had he not been good to you. Some of you wouldn't have kids to drop off at children's church had he not. How many of you can testify and say God has been good to you? Man, everything that we have in our life is given to us because of God's goodness. Can I get a witness in this room? everything that we have, everything that we possess is a byproduct of God's goodness in our life. And I want to tell you today that even though we may have a lot of things of value, and even though we may be owners of a lot of beautiful things in our lives, and God has been faithful in that way, I want you to know that there is something that He has given all of us in this room that is more valuable than we could ever imagine. There's something that God has given us that is so much more valuable than any material possession can be. And I want to tell somebody, the most valuable thing that God has given us and the most valuable thing we possess is our knowledge of God. What we know about His heart, His character, His word, and His promises are the most important things in our life. It is so precious and so valuable and so important that in John 17, verse 3, Jesus says this. He said, "And this is eternal life." Watch. That they may know you, the only true God, and the Jesus Christ whom you sent. He said, that's eternal life for you to know me. What we know about our God is so valuable that He can be known. I just want to take 5 seconds and stop right there. That the God who created the sun, the moon, and the stars can be known. The one that knew how to put a tree together, and the one who thought the circulatory system and the immune system and all the systems in the body. He said, you know what? Those things are beautiful, but I want my creation, what? To know me. So what you have in your knowledge of God is the most valuable thing you can possess. It is so valuable that the enemy violently opposes our pursuit of knowing the Lord. Because when we know Him, watch, we begin to take territory and the enemy loses territory. I want you to write this down. Spiritual warfare is not over material possessions. Spiritual warfare is over what you believe and what you know about your God. I'll prove it to you. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5. Listen closely. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Watch. Casting down arguments and every high thing. What? That exalts itself against the knowledge of God. The enemy is not after your car. He's not after your dog. He is after what you believe and what you know about your God. Because he knows if he can contaminate what you know about your God, it will only be a matter of time until you drift and walk away. But I'm in Calvary Ormond. I'm in the Central Campus. I'm in a room of people that said, I know who my God is. My God's the one that saved me. He's the one that redeemed me. He's the one that was. I wouldn't be here without my God. Give Him praise in this room. The enemy hates a church that knows God. Every satanic attack at its root is to attack what you believe and what you know about the Lord. Why is our knowledge of God so important, Pastor John? I'm glad you asked. Because the Bible says, Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for their lack of it. Which tells me what you know about God is truly life or death. But when you know Him. I said, when you know Him. When you spend time with Him, when you walk with Him, when you talk to Him, when He's held you a few nights in the midnight hour and ain't nobody picked up the phone, when you know Him, the Bible says, Daniel 11:32, but the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. I want to know, is there any people who know their God and have walked in the strength of their God, overcome the enemy by knowing their God, rebuke the lies of the devil by knowing their God? Give God a praise if you are grateful that you have a knowledge of Him. So what does know mean? Know means to know deeply, personally, to know by experience, to be deeply acquainted with, watch, and to grow in the knowledge of. It's deeper than a casual relationship. It's deeper than a Sunday once a day. I want to tell somebody, if your relationship with God only exists, watch, once a week on a Sunday morning, you don't have a relationship with God, you have a one-night stand with God.
I want to tell somebody he is worth knowing. I want to tell somebody that he loves you with an everlasting love. I want to tell you he died for you to know him every single day. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, every single day. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. Somebody say, know him. I cannot believe I just said that. I am so sorry. To know him, watch, means when you are at home, you're worshiping and praying and reading scripture. Watch, you are tuning into My Church, My House to take what you learn in church and apply it to your house. To know him is to spend time with him. The enemy will do everything to keep you from pursuing and knowing the Lord. He will distract you from prayer. He'll make you tired when you're trying to read your word. He'll send storms to make you think God is against you. He's trying to distort and lie on our God. But I want to tell somebody, when you know the truth, the Bible says they shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. What if your freedom is tied to what you have yet to learn about our God? But today God's given us a revelation and we're gonna leave knowing our God better. What does that mean? That means I'm leaving stronger than I came in here. I'm leaving more powerful than I came in here. I may have come in here feeling like the tail, but by God, I'm leaving as the head. Give God a praise if you're not leaving the same.
It's when we know him, we know why he came. We know, watch, Christ came to save humanity. Wave at me if you know that Jesus came to say, I came to seek and to save that which is lost. We know Christ saved us. But today, I want to illuminate your perspective. I want to give you a little bit of insight, even deeper, as to why Jesus came on your behalf. Let's read the Bible. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, that for this purpose, watch, the Son of God was made manifest that he might destroy the works of the devil. So for humanity's sake, Jesus said, I have come to humanity to save you. But when he flips it and looks at the devil, he said, make no mistake, I'm not saving you. I came to destroy you. I came to exact revenge on you. I came for you to pay for what you did to my children. God is not playing when it comes to you. He said, I have come to destroy. Oh my God, destroy the devil. What does that mean? It means destroy in the Greek. It means to dissolve, dismantle, to break apart. It is more than just annihilate. And I want to give you this illustration so you understand how deliberate and absolute Christ is in destroying every single work of the devil. It's as if an owner of a field had land, okay? And he leaves and goes on a business trip. And he comes back to the same land that he owns. The owner owns the land. And he comes back to his land that he owns. And he sees that somebody has built a house on his land. Set up a what? Dwelling illegally on his land. And instead of taking a wrecking ball and destroying the illegal home, because that would create more of a mess, Christ said, he said, I'm gonna go nail by nail, floorboard by floorboard, wall by wall, roof shingle by roof shingle, to make sure there is no way, absolutely no way, that the enemy can take a legal occupation in your life. I'm glad that my God is so intentional that he would dismantle every single place the enemy had a foothold. Why don't you just give God a praise if God is not leaving one space, one place to the devil in your life? Everything comes down in the mighty name of Jesus. So watch. This is how intentional he is, that Christ would destroy the enemy. Now, why am I preaching that to you this morning? Because, ladies and gentlemen, this is what brings us to our text. We now have front row seats to the mission of Christ. In real time, we are witnessing Jesus destroy the devil. How many of you want to have front row seats
to Christ Jesus destroy? What if I told you in this next season of your life, for all the hell you have been going through, that God is going to give you front row seats to watch depression fall? What would I do? What would you do if you were given front row seats to watch that spirit of fear fall? Give God a praise if you are excited to watch the enemy fall in front of you in the mighty name of Jesus. Now watch. Watch. Jesus is in Capernaum. Now Capernaum is a fishing town. There is a significant Roman presence in this town. It is a town of primarily mostly practicing Jews. Mostly the people that live there are Jews. It's even considered a border town. It's in between two major towns. It's kind of like Ormond being in between Orlando and Jacksonville. It's a border town. It's a lot of Roman presence in that town. And the Bible says that Jesus immediately, somebody says immediately, Jesus immediately goes into the synagogue. The synagogue within this time period would have been so significant, it would have been considered the central place of community in this city. And he goes into the center of the community in the synagogue. It's where families would have gathered together. It is where mothers and fathers would have came with their children. Very similar to what you and I have done today, where we are all under the house of God and we are all hearing the word of the Lord. There would have been singing and praising, just like everything we experience today. And Jesus walks into the place where they are gathered, and there are people of all different ages and people who are practicing the same faith and people who are gathering to lift up their God. Doesn't that sound a lot like today? And Jesus comes in to teach the word of God. And the Bible tells us that the people in the synagogue were all astonished as Jesus taught the word. Now, astonished in the Greek is the word exeplesanto, which means to strike or knock out of. It conveys the image of someone being hit, watch, with such force that their normal way of thinking is disrupted. It would have been the equivalent of the emotional fallout of something, as if you discovered something you believed your entire life was completely wrong. Watch, and the evidence is undeniable. They are being dumbfounded by Jesus teaching the word of God in their midst. Why? Because a changed perspective leads to a changed life. Taking territory begins in your mind, and many people want to take new territory with an old mindset. The Bible tells us in Romans 12:2 to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I want to tell you that God's promises for your life are yes and amen, but you have to change your mind. You got to get in your spirit. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Don't care if your mama didn't do it. Don't care if your brother didn't do it. God's calling you to do it. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, you can do it. You will do it. Can I just speak and prophesy? You will do it. Why? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. 1,000 may be at your left, 10,000 at your right, but none shall come near you. Give God a praise if you're going to leave with a new mindset. Give God a praise that there's a new perspective for you, a new revelation for you. I didn't know that about you, Lord. I knew you as healer, but now I know you as chain breaker. I knew you as waymaker, but now I know you as provider. Give God a praise if you're going to leave with a different mindset. So they are changing. He is changing their mind. Watch. In his teaching. Okay. They are astonished. Not simply because he is teaching. They are astonished because of how he is teaching. He is teaching with something called authority. Just say that word. Authority. Authority in the Greek is the word exousia. It is the rightful, lawful action to rule and govern and command within a rightful jurisdiction. And I found out that Jesus is not simply preaching the word. He, in this moment in the text, is the king making decrees. Now watch. The Bible says Jesus Revelations 19:16. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm gonna say it one more time. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I said it two times, not for you, but for every demon and principality listening to my voice today, that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Can you just praise him right now for the title he owns, that he is the King of Kings. Somebody say, that's my king. Yeah, that's my king. Watch. Now, because he is a king, every king has a kingdom, king's domain, which means his kingdom has territory. Okay? And anything within the king's territory falls under their jurisdiction. It means that wherever their territory is, they have the right to fulfill and execute decrees in their mind and in how they desire. It is not optional for obedience in the territory, watch, where the king makes decrees and the king proclaims. It would be like if I was the king of this small little pulpit. Apostle, I know this is your church. That's not what I'm saying. It would be as if I had the jurisdiction right here. I can say I want the carpet white or I want the carpet gray. Why? Because I'm in my rightful jurisdiction. Jesus has a rightful jurisdiction. I'll wait till you get it. I said Jesus has a rightful jurisdiction. Can you bring up Psalm 24 verse 1? In case people are confused, the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. What is your king's territory? Everything. Asia, Africa, America, China, Europe, heaven, the firmament and the earth. Everything belongs to Jesus. Somebody give him praise. You belong to him. Your mama belong to him. Your children belong to him. Your grandma belong to him. Give God a praise if everything belongs to Jesus. I'll just give you 10 seconds to just say amen. I'm going to give you a few seconds to give him praise. Because, oh, the storm you've been going through, he has authority over it. Why? Because it's in his jurisdiction. Can I keep going? So Jesus is operating in something called, watch, intrinsic authority. Write that down. Intrinsic authority. Intrinsic authority. Authority, intrinsic authority is authority that belongs to someone because of who they are. Okay? Not because someone else granted it to them. Authority is not something God tries to have. Authority is who he is. So in our text, we have the king operating in his rightful position as king, rightfully declaring laws and setting order in his territory. And it's a full house of people. And among the people in the gathering, watch this. Listen to this. Among the people in the gathering, there is a man in the gathering with an unclean spirit. I would expect someone to have an unclean spirit in the world. I would expect someone to have an unclean spirit at the club. I would expect someone to have an unclean spirit outside of the house of God. But the Bible tells us that there was someone in the church who had an unclean spirit. Hang with me. They were not outside the church. They were not in the parking lot of the church. They were not at the Chick-fil-A nearby of the church waiting for it to be Monday because you know they close. Come on, somebody. Some of y'all waiting. As soon as they open, you ready for that to-go order. And when you send it, just make sure you add mine. in the synagogue, there's a man with an unclean spirit. Let me put it in your world. In God's house, there is an unclean spirit. And I want to point a few things out to you today. Christ's enemy was in his house. Have you ever had an enemy that lived in your house? I want to point out a few details pertaining to this reality, that there's an unclean spirit in the house of God. Number one, I want you to hear this, and I have to say it heavy so you understand. The enemy hates humanity. Okay? I want you to consider the audacity of Satan and his demons right now in this moment in the text, that they would have the sheer level of disrespect to illegally occupy a man whom Jesus loves and created, and then fully take residence in the house of God. This unclean spirit had no problem being in the house of God. That's crazy to me. That they would have the audacity to be in the church. What is my point? There are still houses of worship today where demons feel comfortable. I said what I said. I got Bible to back it up. Revelations 2:20, the church of Thyatira is being rebuked, watch, for allowing the spirit of Jezebel. And I wanted to tell you, you are not in that kind of church this morning. You are in a church that will rebuke the enemy and declare, as for me and my house. Parents, just declare that right now. The enemy can't have my family. You have no place in this church. You have no place in my mind. Get out in the mighty name of Jesus. Somebody shout, get out. Yeah, get out, get out, get out right now. Let me talk to the spirit that's been plaguing you. If you're in this room, I rebuke you. You have no jurisdiction. King Jesus is the king. Somebody praise him in this room. Your Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5, that there are people who have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. I know what kind of church I'm in this room. It's people that know the power of their God. Why don't you take a moment and praise the Lord for the power of your God, the power to overcome, the power to break through, the power to heal, power to save. Give him praise in this room. If you have power from the Holy Spirit. Still houses of worship where demons feel comfortable. Number one, the enemy hates humanity. Number two, I need you to hear this. The enemy is ignorant. He is not all-knowing. The King of Glory stands in the midst of his own house, declaring the word of God, and the enemy can't take it. If the enemy knew that Jesus would have been in that synagogue, don't you think he would have prevented that man from being in the house? I just want you to think about it. If the enemy knew that the King of Glory was going to be in the same environment, watch. That man woke up and said, you know what, I'm going to go to church. That unclean spirit said, cool, let's go. That man ate his Frosted Flakes. That demon said, add a little bit more sugar. Come on, somebody. Enemy got in his car. Let's ride. Got in the parking lot. Come on. Went to Unity Coffee. Mm-hmm. That man sat on the front row. That unclean spirit said, there's no threat here. All of a sudden, I said, all of a sudden, he sees that this is not just an ordinary man preaching the word. All of a sudden, he sees this is the Alpha and the Omega. All of a sudden, he sees this is the great I am. All of a sudden, he sees this is El Shaddai. All of a sudden, he sees this is the way maker, the body healer. All of a sudden, he sees that this is Jehovah Rapha in the flesh. All of a sudden, he sees the word is made flesh. And I want to tell somebody in that moment, that spirit said, it's too late. I can't get out of this situation now. Can I just speak to every spirit that's tried to hinder you? It is too late. It is too late. It is too late. Victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to you. Where are the children of God that declare, enemy, you should have took me out 10 years ago. But the fact that the fact that I made it in this room. Somebody say it's too late. Depression is too late. Suicide is too late. Fear is too late. Give God a praise if you believe that in this room. That demon didn't know that Jesus was going to be there. That enemy didn't know. The enemy is ignorant. The enemy doesn't know everything about you. Can I go further? Is that okay? I got Bible to prove it. 1 Corinthians 2:8. For had they known. Oh my God. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Oh, I'm going to give you a moment to praise the Lord that your God is always 10 steps ahead of the enemy. I want to give you a chance to just bless him right now that your God is never behind the enemy. The enemy is always behind your God. Can I go a little bit further? He is not just behind God, he is under God. Somebody praise him that he is under you, under your family, under your feet. Slap somebody and say he's under you. Yeah, he can't overcome you, he is under you. So number one, the enemy hates humanity. Number two, the enemy is ignorant. Number three, the enemy will use anyone who allows him. Now, this is crazy to me because the text does not tell us which man had an unclean spirit. It doesn't tell us if it was a first-time guest who was at the club last night. It doesn't tell us if this was, watch, let me put it in your world. It doesn't tell us if this was an usher. Don't tell us if they were on the prayer team. Don't tell us if they were the worship leader. Can I blow your mind? It don't even tell us if it was the pastor. Which tells me the enemy will use anybody who is available. The enemy will use, he will, that's why your Bible says give no place to the devil. Don't give him a foothold in your life. I want to remind somebody, don't give him an inch. Don't compromise on any level. Refuse to be for sale. Say in the mighty name of, I can't watch that, I'm not for sale. I can't listen to that, I'm not for sale. I can't have that conversation with you in gossip, I'm not for sale. I can't listen to that, I'm not for sale. I can't partake in that, I'm not for sale. Why? Because the enemy, wherever he finds a space or a vessel, he will try to occupy it and advance his kingdom. But I believe I'm in a room here that are full of the Holy Spirit. I believe I'm in a room of people that say there's no room for the enemy. We are driving him out everywhere. Driving him out. There is no place he can occupy. Give God a praise if the enemy has no place in your life. The enemy will use anyone. Give him no place. Now, this is crazy to me. Watch. Because of the authority of Christ's teaching, the unclean spirit has no choice but to manifest itself. The demon says, what have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Listen to his second question. Did you come to destroy us? Oh my gosh. I'm gonna put it all together. He didn't know why he was there. But because of the word of God, the children of God know why he was there. I want to read the scripture to you. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, specifically, intentionally, for this reason the Son of God was made manifest to destroy the works of the devil. What does that mean? The enemy did not know, but you and I know the very reason Christ is in this synagogue is he said, I'm going to deal with you right now. You've been in a man that I love. You've been in a man that I created. You've been in a man that I have a plan for. I'm getting ready to deal with you right now. I wanted to, so there is a moment where Christ set up the stage from the beginning to encounter the enemy and destroy him completely, utterly dismantle him. I want to tell somebody in this room, today might be your day where your God plunders your enemy. Today might be your day when the shackles are broken off of you. Today might be your day when the fear is broken off of you. Today might be your day. Why don't you praise God in faith that today might be your day? Now, how would you praise God if you knew the delay stopped today? How would you praise God if that cancer died today? How would you praise God if your prodigal son or daughter came home today? How would you praise God if you knew that the hold the enemy tried to have on you stop today? I'm gonna give you 10, 9, 8, 7. I feel like somebody would be a little bit more excited. I feel like somebody would be a little bit more hungry. That's your son who you've been praying for. Ran in the house and say, Mama, Jesus is my Lord. Give him a praise as if it was happening today. Somebody say today, today. Stop your neighbor and say today. Praise him like it's happening today. Praise him like it's changing today. Because about, oh, watch. Say, hey, hang with me, hang with me. Wait, you want to know why we're praising him today? Because the Bible says in Acts 16, there were Paul and Silas in prison. They were praising him today when it wasn't ideal, when they were still in bondage, when they still had questions. They were praising him anyhow. And all of a sudden, in the same moment where they are saying hallelujah, God sent an earthquake, and not just Paul and Silas got free, but everyone in their environment got free. Why don't you praise the Lord? You getting free. Your neighbor getting free. Your row getting free. Praise him until it changes. 1, 2, 3, give him a shout of praise. Grab your neighbor by the hand and say, neighbor, you are breaking through today. Neighbor, it stops today. Now, neighbor, praise the Lord with me right now. Watch, watch. If I had glasses, I would take them off like apostle. Come on, somebody. Oh, man, my watch. This demon has manifested himself. He said, Jesus of Nazareth, did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Now, this is a spirit that no longer has leverage. The only time darkness has leverage is in secrecy. That's why the Bible tells you confess your sins one to another, because as long as you keep it inside, hidden, the enemy gonna beat you up with regret, beat you up with fear, beat you up with guilt. But if you say, I got a prayer partner, I've been struggling, I'm getting this devil off my back, the enemy loses its power. What am I trying to say? You cannot do church alone. You cannot do life alone. The Bible says where two or three gather, he promises to be in the midst. If you watch, the enemy only has power in hidden places. You got to expose him. This is a spirit that has lost leverage. He is no longer hidden. Watch. The unclean spirit has been exposed and is face to face with the king and sounds afraid. Which brings me to this revelation. The spirit sounds afraid. Spirit sounds afraid. Spirit sounds afraid. I realized something. That same spirit of fear you have has a fear of its own. That same spirit of worry has a worry of its own. That same spirit of confusion has a fear of its own. That same spirit of lust has a fear of its own. Pastor John, what could the demons have been afraid of? Christ Jesus, our Lord. Oh, if I were you, what am I trying to do? I'm trying to get you to understand that the enemy does not have all power and is afraid of the King of Glory. I wish I had a church that understood that Christ evokes so much fear in the enemy. They are concerned. Is this the day you coming back? Is this the day I'm going to be defeated? Is this the day I'm getting thrown in the lake of fire? Today is the day where I evict you out of every area of my life. They're afraid of your God. Now, Christ then responds and says, be quiet, okay? The enemy, watch, I want to put it all together. The enemy has illegally infiltrated a man. There is a demonic spirit in the house of God. Listen, which means the enemy has attempted to invade kingdom territory. And he's unknowingly confronted with Jesus and has made himself known. And your God tells him to be quiet. Oh my gosh. He says, be quiet. In the Greek, it means to muzzle. It means to watch. He put a muzzle. He confined his mouth. He arrested his mouth. I want you to see this. This unclean spirit is out of place, is being publicly shamed and silenced publicly, fully arrested under the authority of Christ. It cannot move. It is completely powerless. This unclean spirit is no longer freely destroying the man Jesus loved. So what is happening? I want to give you military vernacular. In this moment, what we are witnessing in real time, watch, is your God, King Jesus, he has made himself a prisoner of war. A prisoner of war is someone who fought for one side, was captured by the other side, and is held captive until. Hold on, hang with me. Not only is God binding the man, the spirit. This is fulfilling prophecy. Let's read our Bible. Psalm 68, verse 18. You have ascended on high, and you have led captivity captive. Hold on. In this moment, we are watching the God you serve bind what has bound the man. Can I put it in your world? The same thing trying to bind you is being bound by God. The same fear that's trying to make you afraid is being bound by God. The same worry that is trying to come against you is being bound by God. He is now taking what tried to make you captive and he is putting it in captivity. If I were you, I would be grateful that my God has so much power. The thing that has been hindering me, the thing that has been coming against my family, the thing that has been coming against my mind, God flips the script, says, get out of my child. I'm going to put the cuffs on you. You can't move until I say so. You can't do nothing until I say so. He said, be quiet. Somebody tell the devil, be quiet. Now watch. And in a moment, y'all still good? In a moment, the Lord has uncovered, arrested, and evicted the enemy. Can we just speak this by faith? Can you just say this with me? Say, in the next season, the Lord will uncover every hidden devil, arrest everything frustrating my purpose, and evict the enemy in every area of my life. Give him praise in this room. Get out of my family. Get out of my school. Get out of my nation. Get out of my finances. Get out of my marriage. Somebody shout, get out. Get out right now. Get out, spirit of depression. Get out, spirit of suicide. Get out, spirit of compromise. Somebody say, get out. All right. So I want to bring this in. The Bible says that everyone was so amazed, asking themselves, what manner of doctrine is this? For with authority, military word, authority, he commands the unclean spirits and they obey him. But man, y'all don't know how good our God is. The unclean spirits obey him. But that's not the only thing that obeys him. You want to know what else obeys him? The unclean spirits obey him. The wind and the waves obey him. The sun, moon, and stars obey him. The rocks obey him. All of creation obeys him. The angels obey him. The heavens obey him. Kings obey him. The devil, even himself, has to obey our God. Give God a praise. If you know everything, let everything that has breath give him praise right now. Give him praise right now. Yeah. Give him praise right now. That boss getting on your nerves obeys him. Those children you that have been rebelling obey him. Every single thing obeys the King of Glory in this room. Now watch. All of a sudden, in one moment, one synagogue, one sovereign king encounters one man with one unclean spirit, speaks one word, sets one man free. Watch. And an entire region believes. I'm gonna say it one more time. One moment, one synagogue, one king encounters one man with one unclean spirit. He speaks one word, sets one man free, and an entire region believes. Let me put it in your world. One sinner gets set on fire by one God who goes back to one job, who comes to one place, sits at one desk, and everybody in the company begins to believe. Let me put it in your word. One person in one family in one car ride speaks the gospel. One driver pulls over the vehicle and the whole car comes to Christ. That is the power of the authority of Christ Jesus. In one moment, an entire region believes. Let me put it in your word. One church in Ormond Beach has one encounter with God, leaves one property, goes to their one home, wins their whole community. You want to know what that's called? Taking territory, i.e. revival. I wanted to tell somebody, revival might just be on the other side of you realizing how much authority Christ has given you. Where are the people who understand that God only needs one man? All he needs is a remnant, and a remnant will lead an encounter and revival for a generation. Let me put it. Now watch. I'm almost done. Now remember, Christ is operating in intrinsic authority. It's authority he possesses by nature. It's the authority nobody gave him. Now he's in his jurisdiction. He's in his house, ruling in his preferred methodology, executing his rule. Now I want to reconcile something in the text, because I had to take this to prayer. Now currently, right now, here today, July 12th, 2026, currently, Jesus physically, watch, is not on the earth. Jesus physically is seated at the right hand of the majesty on high. But watch, Isaiah 9:6, it says that to his kingdom there shall be no end. How does the kingdom advance, Pastor Isaac, if the king is not physically here? Fair question. It advances through delegated authority. This is authority given by a higher authority to another lower authority, empowering them to act on behalf of the one who sent them. This is given authority. Delegated authority is authority that we have been given, not authority that I was born with. Authority I've been what? Given. I've been given authority. Now in the Gospels, he sent his disciples out under his authority. They were ordinary people, unlearned people, unimportant people, unfamiliar people, people who were sinners in their past, made mistakes in their past, struggled in their past, but they were people who were forgiven and had a relationship with Christ and had knowledge of God. They were given authority over the power of the enemy. God said it to his disciples in the text, but it reigns true for any disciples in this room. I want you to read it for yourself. Luke 10:19. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions, over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by means harm you. What does that mean? In Christ, you have been given. Somebody say, act like it right now. Act like you've been given authority. Act like you got power. Act like you can bind the devil. Act like he's under your feet. Act like you got authority. Act like you decree a thing and it shall be established. Act like life and death is in the power of the tongue. Why don't you just act in authority right now? Give him praise if you've been given authority. I didn't know I could tell the devil no, but now I know. I didn't know I could tell fear no, but now I know. Somebody's taking authority right now. You going home in your kitchen. This is Jesus' kitchen. This is Jesus' living room. This is Jesus' bedroom. You laying hands on your kids with it. Listen, you belong to the Lord. You are blood bought. Give him praise if it all belongs to the Lord in this room. I got authority. I got authority. I got authority. I got authority in my house. I got authority in my car. I got authority wherever I put my feet. Because the Bible says, Joshua chapter 1, wherever you put the sole of your feet, I will give you that territory. Why don't somebody in this room get on your feet and just begin to pace the floor in your seat to remind the devil, this belongs to Jesus. This belongs to Jesus. This belongs to Jesus. This belongs to Jesus. Every place I can put my foot, I'm going to Walmart, I'm walking my neighborhood, I'm going to my children's school, every single place. Now watch, I'm about done. I want to say this very clearly. You have the authority to take territory. And what Jesus did in his house, hear me, you have the right to do in your house. There are some people in this room who are going home to take territory. Teachers have authority. Parents have authority. Kids have authority. Garbage men have authority. Oh, I feel this. Sociologists have authority. Ordinary men and women who were sinners, who had a past. One day you were in the club. The next minute you're in church. You have authority. Now watch. This is authority that has been given. Somebody say given. We don't own this authority. Oh my God. We don't own this authority. It was given. Somebody say it was given. Delegated. Passed to me from God. Therefore, watch, the authority isn't in my name. It's not in your pastor's name. It's not in your grandma's name. It's not in the president's name. It's not in your bank's name. It's not in your wife's name. It's not in your husband's name. It's not in Allah's name. It's not in Buddha's name. It's not in Christian's name. There is only one name that can give you the authority, and it's in the mighty, the matchless, the pop. Somebody begin to decree that name. It's only in Jesus' name. Only in Jesus' name. Somebody shout unto God in this room. We're going to declare something and then we're going to go into the moment of altar. I want you to hear me. I just want you to say this with conviction. I need you to say this like you believe this. Today might be your day. It might be your day. Listen to this declaration. Say, today, I take up my authority. I repent for every sin that has given the enemy a foothold in my life. I am forgiven. I take back every place the enemy occupied. In Jesus' name, say, I rise up in my authority and declare your kingdom come, your will be done. I am taking territory. My church is taking territory and the kingdom is taking territory. Somebody praise him.
if you are taking
So here it is. If you say, Pastor John, there's territory I know I'm called to take. But man, there's been resistance. I've been fighting. I know I'm called to it. But for some reason, man, it always feels out of reach. I'm called to it, but I'm afraid. I'm called to it, but man, every time I try to take a step, it blows up in my face. And you're a person in this room under the sound of my voice who said, Pastor John, today, July 12th at 12:03 p.m., I am taking territory. Every head bowed, every eye closed. This was for the territory takers. This is for the people, maybe in this past season you were frustrated, or in this past season you were weary, or in this past season it's been a fight. But man, I came from Palm Coast all the way to wake you up and remind you that you have been given authority. And by faith, you're taking it today. If that's you, and you say, Pastor Don, I am not leaving without the territory God promised me. I am taking territory by faith. You got unsafe children? This is for you. I'm taking them back in the mighty name of Jesus. Come on, you got a business idea you've been believing God to give you? I'm taking it in the mighty name of. Come on, you got a health report that is anti what God's word says. Today, this is your word that, man, I am taking my health by his stripes. I am healed. You've been depressed in your life. The Bible tells us, he said, I'll give you a garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. You've been afraid. The Bible says, he said, I've not given you a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. You've been feeling anxious. Be anxious for nothing. Wherever there has been a place in your life that has been a fight for you to lay hold on, today I'm talking to you. And on the count of three, if you're saying, Pastor John, me coming to this altar is my first step and taking to this new ground. Me coming to this altar is by faith. I'm telling my Lord, I'm walking out by faith. I'm Peter getting out the boat. I'm walking on the authority you have given me by your word. I'm taking Joshua chapter 1 literally. I'm putting my feet on my promises. I'm going to declare in the mighty name of Jesus, you've been giving me authority. I'm driving out every demon and devil in my mind, in my marriage, in my finances, in my future, in my home. People are coming right now. They already taking territory. I feel this, man. If you're saying today is going to be the final day, they're already coming. I am on the count of three, man. If that's you and you said, I refuse to be denied, I will not be denied. I'm taking this territory. I'm moving by faith. On the count of three, I want you to come right now. If you got a spouse, grum with them by the hand and say, in the mighty name of, we are driving out the devil. One, two, three. If that's you, I'm coming. I'm taking my territory. I'm taking it by force. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, but the violent take it by force. I may have been passive yesterday, but I'm bold as a lion today. I may have been afraid yesterday, but I am strong and very courageous today. I may have been worried yesterday, but I am moving in the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm coming, I'm coming, I'm coming. Come on, come. Come with confidence. Come knowing Jesus is King. Come knowing you are the head and not the tail. Come knowing greater is he that is in you. Come knowing that you will not be defeated. Come knowing you are more than a conqueror. Come knowing there's a breakthrough. Come knowing in the power of the blood. Come knowing the Holy Spirit is on you. Come knowing with confidence in the mighty name of Jesus. Now here it is. Here it is. Before we pray for people. Before we pray for people. Because here's the thing. I'm not going home with you. The prayer team not going home with you. But let me tell you who is going home with you. Christ in you. Let me tell you who is going home with you. The Holy Spirit who dwells on the inside of you. Let me remind you who is going with you, who you do have access to. The Word of God. The Word is a sword. The Word is a mighty fire. The Word is a hammer. You have what you need to take the territory that belongs to you. So for this next moment right now, man, I need you to get a little bit radical. I'm going to activate you. Prayer team, just intercede before we pray for anybody. Pastors, just intercede before we pray for anybody. Because I feel like there are people. I feel like you are on the edge right now. I feel like you are Peter in the boat. And you are thinking, well, what happens if I move? What happens? What will the enemy do next? Don't worry about that. You got the word. Well, what happens to my family? Don't worry about that. You got the word. And you are getting ready to take a step into your next season. A step into the new you. So prayer team, begin to intercede right now. Begin to intercede. Worship team, begin to intercede. Put that mic in your mouth and begin to intercede. Begin to call on heaven on their behalf. You by live stream, you right now, you begin to intercede. You're taking territory by faith in the mighty name of Jesus. Now we're praying. We're towing the ground. We're sowing the atmosphere. We're sowing the atmosphere. Now in a moment, I want you to begin to pray and declare in the mighty name of Jesus. I want you to speak to whatever stronghold that has been against you. In a moment, I'm going to release you to move in the power of the Holy Spirit. On the count of three, I want you to lift your voice because you got authority. Son of God, you got authority. Authority. Daughter of God, you got authority. Mama, you got authority. Young person, you got authority. On the count of three, lift up your voice and take back your land. One, I'm taking it. Two, I'm moving forward. Three, lift your voice now. Come on, do it now. Declare it now. Speak it now. Speak it boldly. Speak it with fire. Speak it with confidence. Your God is king. He never lost a battle. Speak it. Speak it. Speak it. Speak it. Speak it. Declare it. Declare it. Declare it. Come on, all the way up. All the way up. All the way up. All right, prayer team, pastors, begin to pray right now. Begin to pray right now. Declare it. Speak it. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. Lace up your boots. Put on your backpack. It's time to ride. It's time. Lace up your boots.
Put on your backpack. It's time to ride.
You ready?
It's time to ride.
Lace up your boots.
Lace up your boots.
Right.
sin. Breakthrough, breakthrough, breakthrough. The spirit of the breaker, the anointing of the breaker, the anointing of breakthrough. It's in this room. It's in this room.
Now, you came into this building one way. You may have worshiped the same way. May have sat through the word the same way. But can you, by your praise, make an announcement to the kingdom of heaven that there is a new you in this room? And at the same time, can you make a declaration to every demon and devil in the kingdom of darkness that has been in your life? There is a new me in this church right now. On the count of three, by your shout, announce to heaven, I'm changed. And announce to hell, be afraid. Announce to heaven, I'm changed. Announce to hell, I'm afraid. One, two, three, lift up the shout. Lift up a war cry. Lift up a victory shout. Come on, declare it by your shout. Shout unto God. I'm shouting for my marriage. I'm shouting for my children. I'm shouting for my family. I'm shouting for my generation. I'm shouting for my new season. Now, we're about to be done. I'm going to speak this by faith. I'm going to hand it off to whoever. What's happening right now for those who are new? Maybe you're new to a spirit-filled environment. The Bible tells us that was a message in tongues. It's like one of the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, the gift of tongues. It's different from your prayer life. Your prayer life is the Spirit's praying through you, perfect prayers. What we just witnessed is the gift of tongues. What is that? That is a sovereign message from heaven to his people. There's an interpretation from tongues. When she was speaking that, thank you for your obedience. This is what the Lord said. He said, my children, he said, I have been waiting for this moment. He said, I have been waiting for you to operate in the authority that I have already given you. He said, the problem is not that you don't believe me. Watch. He said, the problem has been you don't think it would work for you. He said, but today, I am releasing a new anointing on you. Watch. On this house and in this region. There's a multiplication coming to Calvary that Apostle and Pastor Dawn have been praying for decades. And because of their faithfulness, man, God has brought us this far. And we have ridden on their backs, myself included, to get to this point. But the Lord says in this next season, he said, I am authorizing you to be the chief territory taker. You are going to win souls. Some of you have had a burden to be evangelistic, but you have discredited yourself as, watch, introverted. But God is saying, I'm breaking the timidity off of you. There's a boldness that's going to come on you to win souls. The Holy Spirit, thank you. The Holy Spirit says there are people that you know you live by. You live on the third floor, they live on the first floor. And you, every time you see them, you feel convicted because you know you're supposed to share the gospel with them. You know you're supposed to tell them about Jesus, but you are afraid that they won't wait, that they won't hear you. But the Holy Spirit said they have been waiting for change. The change is coming through you. Some of you, one of you live in breakaway trails right now. And there's somebody that lives in your community, two streets from you. They walk their dog, you see them. And you pray for them when they walk by. But the Lord said, your prayers have been heard, watch. And the answer I am sending is you. Yes. Holy Spirit, thank you. Some of you in this room, thank you, Holy Spirit. You have been coming to Calvary. Since the beginning of January, you came and Sacred Season was here, but you have yet to go through Growth Track because you don't feel like there's a space or place for you to fit. The Lord is saying is this church has been waiting for your gift. They've been waiting for you to help carry the load and advance the kingdom. Some of you, thank you, Holy Spirit, you can sing, but you hear this amazing team and you get intimidated. No, we need your gift. We need you. We need you. We need you. The kingdom needs you. Your pastors need you. So today, as we slip up our hands and just bless the Lord, you in your own voice, can you tell him thank you? Just tell him thank you. Oh, God. Oh, God. Just tell him thank you. Jesus. Just tell him thank you. Thank you for letting me come this morning, Lord. Thank you for giving me the gas in my tank to be in this room. Thank you for releasing this anointing on me. Lord, I'm not going to waste this moment. I'm going to be different. I'm not going to waste this opportunity, God. I'm going to be bold for you, Jesus. I'm not going to waste your blood and your cross and be passive for the kingdom. I'm going to step out in faith even in my fear. I'm going to step out in faith even with my questions. Start the business. Share the vision. Write the book. Share the gospel. Believe your God. Failure is not an option for the child of God. So Lord, we thank you. And we simply praise you for what will come. Declare over yourself, I'm not going back. No matter what, I am not going back. Now, if this was your word, and this was the confirmation you needed to move by faith, give your King the greatest praise. First time guests, my wife and I will be in the foyer to meet with you. We'd love to connect with you. But can we leave with this praise? All my life you have been faithful. Even in my disobedience. God bless you. Apostle and Pastor Dawn will be back next week. Come hungry, come expectant. Amen.